podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
1 Kings chapter 17, starting with verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from the Tishba in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of Elijah this morning. May we learn, Lord, from his situation. May it speak in our day as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So these are the days of Elijah. Elijah, of course, was a prophet, a spokesman for God, who lived over 28 centuries ago in ancient Israel. So how is it possible that these are the days of Elijah? In those days, Israel had forgotten all about God. Under the leadership of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, the nation that was chosen by God to represent him in this world was walking away from God. Instead, they were worshiping another god, a god by the name of Baal. It's pretty sad when a nation or a people or even one individual turns to God and says, "God, I know you're the one who got me here. I know you're the one who has watched me each and every day. I know you are the one who has blessed me. I know that you are the one who brought me out of slavery in Egypt and brought me into the promised land. I know that you are the God who has caused success and prosperity and life and enjoyment. I know you are the God who has brought wealth and contentment. But you know what, God? You're old-fashioned. I've had enough of you. I know you've got me to this place, but I'm comfortable now. And you know what? You're just not cool anymore. There are other gods out there. And there are pressures from the outside. From the cultures around me are different. And you know what, God? Maybe it's time for me to just move along to another god. Those were the days of Elijah. A king by the name of Ahab was at the lead of the nation of Israel. And if you still have your Bible open to 1 Kings 17, look back a few verses to 1 Kings 16, verse 33. We read this about Ahab. "Ahab also made an Asherah pole." This is an implement, an object of worship of Baal. "And he did more to provoke the Lord," that's Jehovah, the God of Israel, "to anger than did all the kings of Israel before him." So if you add up all of the evil that was done by all of the kings of Israel, Ahab was worse than all of them combined. That's what Scripture says. But Ahab had a wife by the name of Jezebel. And we know that the name, even just the name Jezebel, all of these 28 centuries later, is still a name for an evil woman. No woman wants to be called a Jezebel. And yet she lived 28 centuries ago. She was not just a worshiper of false gods. She wasn't just a worshiper of Baal. She hated Jehovah, the God of Israel, and would do anything to make sure that his name was wiped out of the history and the hearts of the people of Israel. But despite the wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel, despite the fact that they worshiped Baal, despite the fact that the people of Israel were inviting these false gods into their homes and were worshiping idols, they were still, at this point in history, experiencing a degree of wealth and comfort because of the blessings that God had given to them over the years as his people. But that was about to change. Things were going to change because the people and the leadership became comfortable with life, and they had forgotten about Jehovah, the God who had got them there. And they were turning toward other gods. God was about to present them with judgment. He was about to present them with years of a severe drought. They were about to go from thick to thin. And Elijah was the messenger. He was the spokesman that God had chosen to come and to give this message. And we read that in verse 1. Elijah comes before Ahab the king, and he said, look, things are going to get difficult. There's not going to be dew. There's not going to be rain. It's the time of God's punishment. Think about Elijah. First of all, his name is Eli-Yah, which is two names for God. But what it really means is this. Yah, or Jehovah, is my El, is my God. Jehovah is my God. That's the name of Elijah. And as Elijah stands up before Ahab and Jezebel, these worshipers of Baal, who are taking the nation away from God, he's standing there saying, my name is Jehovah is God. And he emerges out of some backwoods country place that no one ever heard of. Everyone heard of Gilead. They know that region. But Tishba? Where is Tishba? Can you even find Tishba on the map? Nobody even in that day really knew where it was. But this is where Elijah came from. It's kind of like when I go to a statewide Baptist meeting and someone says, so where are you from? And I say, Quaker Gap. And they'll say, well, where is that? I'll say, well, it's just outside of King. Oh, King's Mountain? No, not King's Mountain. King. Well, where is that? Well, it's somewhere between Winston-Salem and Mount Airy. Oh, okay, yeah, they all know Mount Airy, especially with the Andy Griffith connection and all of that. They know all of that. But King, they haven't really heard of it statewide. So here comes this guy named Jehovah is my God, fresh out of the sticks, and he stands before the king of all Israel and says, God is fed up with you and your forgetfulness of him. Your economy is about to go south real quick. Things are going to fall apart. Jehovah is a jealous God, and he will not have another God before him. And he is about to change everything. You think these are the days of Elijah? You think you can make a comparison between Israel becoming comfortable with their wealth and forgetting God, and the United States of America becoming comfortable with her wealth and forgetting the God who brought the blessings to begin with? A roaring economy, people pursuing pleasure, and then people forgetting God and even pushing God out of their lives and out of the country, and suddenly the economy begins to take a plunge. But people continue to remain apathetic to God, even though things are falling apart. Perhaps we need Elijah today to come walking out of the sticks, to stand up before our nation and say, Jehovah is our God. Someone, anyone, to stand up for God. Someone to help wake us up and pull us out of this apathy, away from the lifestyles and the attitudes that we've fallen into, the things that are keeping us away from God. Someone like Elijah to stand up. Well, whether these are the days of Elijah or not, we can learn a lot from his stories. And in a number of weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the stories in Elijah's life, beginning at a brook named Kerith this morning. God had some instructions for Elijah. He said, during this drought, I'm going to provide for you. And I'm not going to provide for you through the ordinary means. All right, this is going to be a little different than what you might expect. I want you to go to the Kerith Ravines, little brook called Kerith. There's going to be enough water for you to drink, nice, cold, fresh water. But in addition to that, all your food's going to be airlifted to you by ravens. I will provide for you while all of Israel is experiencing drought and nobody's eating and nobody's drinking and the world is falling apart. You're going to sit by this brook and drink fresh cold water, and the ravens are going to bring you bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, And you're going to be happy eating roast beef sandwiches and drinking fresh, cold bottles of water there by the side of the brook named Kerith. Now, food delivery, if you know anything about ravens, food delivery, that's not so raven, right? Somebody's got to get that. Anyhow, that is not raven. So here's the deal about food delivery. Ravens, if they get their beak on food, you're not getting it. It's theirs. They don't share, not even with each other. Have you ever seen them fighting and squabbling? Somehow God trained these ravens and put it in their minds to get the meat, to get the bread, and to deliver it twice a day to Elijah. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. But even that sweet arrangement didn't last forever. It didn't continue forever because sometime later, as we read in our passage, the brook dried up. The ravens stopped coming. And God said, I have other plans for you. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Edgar Allan Poe. So I'm going from Disney Channel to Edgar Allan Poe this morning, and you're missing it all. There are some lessons to be learned in this story. From Elijah's days of sitting by this drying up brook. Because, you see, there are opportunities in days like these. The journey from thick to thin is filled with opportunities, if we'll just pay attention. So at the brook, Elijah didn't have any company. The first thing we know is this. He didn't have any company. There was no encampment of refugees from the drought. Elijah didn't have a protege yet. That would come later. He had no wife. He had no kids. He was by himself, sitting by a brook, drinking water, having food delivered him by ravens. All it was him, the ravens, and God. Maybe a little fish every now and then. That was it. Just Elijah and God. Imagine how quiet it must have been there by that stream. What did Elijah have to do with all of his time? He didn't have internet. He didn't have satellite TV. He didn't have any of that. It was just him, a stream, and God, and some ravens twice a day. What did he do all day? You know, and why would God set this prophet on the shelf? I mean, shouldn't he be off doing some work somewhere? Shouldn't he be preaching somewhere? Shouldn't he be walking through the streets crying out the name of Jehovah? No, God said, I'm going to sit you on the shelf. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. If I was Elijah, I might be saying, God, this is not getting us anywhere. You know, we're not making any progress, God. This is wasted time. Give me something to do, somewhere to go, a job, something. What a waste of time just sitting by this brook doing nothing. God said, Elijah, you just hush. Because in the hush, God speaks. In the hush, God speaks. What amazing lessons God has for us if we will learn to do three things. Slow down, shut up, and pay attention. If we would just learn those three lessons. Slow down, shut up, and pay attention. You know? Elijah was forced to slow down, shut up, and pay attention. And the Lord taught him. He taught him, Elijah, I am in control. Elijah, I love you. Elijah, I will meet your needs. Elijah, trust me. Trust me, because there's not a thing you can do. So trust in me. But if we are too busy filling the silence with our own voice and with all of the noises around us, and if we are too busy trying to escape the wilderness, then we won't hear God's voice because we won't be hushed. Now, when was the last time you were completely silent before God? When was the last time you stopped listening to your own voice for a little while? Because I don't know about you, but my voice talks all day long, all day long. There's things going on up there. Things that I like, things that I don't like, things that are intentional, things that are unintentional. But there comes a time when we just have to shut it off. Whatever it is, wherever it comes from, whether it's our own voice, the voice on the radio, the cell phone, the television, wherever it's coming from, just shut it down. And hush before God. The Lord may be speaking, but if you're going full throttle, sirens blaring, wide open, you're not going to hear it. In the hush, God speaks and gives us an opportunity to listen, if we'll take it. Elijah was forced to take it. Also, as Elijah obeys the Lord and he heads for this brook called Kereth, he has to wonder, why Kereth? Why this little ravine, this little brook in the middle of nowhere? Why not closer to where the action is? You know, God, why don't you send me to Samaria, the big city, the capital city, where Ahab is? And why can't I spend time there walking the streets of the big city, preaching, warning people that the drought's coming? Turn to Jehovah. You know, this is what you've called me to do, to be your prophet. Let me speak. What good is there me sitting in this brook in the middle of nowhere? I want action, God. I want action. But God leads him to Kereth, and God uses Kereth to provide for Elijah. Point number two is where he leads, God provides. Wherever he leads you, God provides for you. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you were doing the will of God, you were being led by God, you were doing exactly what you felt God would have you to do, and suddenly you experience trouble? The brook begins to dry up. You know, Elijah here day by day is drinking from this brook. So he's keeping an eye on it because this is his only source of refreshment and water. But day by day, the brook is beginning to get a little bit lower. The water level's decreasing day by day. I don't know if Elijah drew a line and then watched it drop below that line, but I'm sure he could see that it was going from a stream to a little rivulet to little puddles. And he had to wonder. And sometimes we refuse to follow God's lead because we are afraid that God will not provide. We say, God, I know this is what you're calling me to do, but I don't think you can get me there, so you know what, why don't I do what I want to do instead? We don't trust the brook to hold out. We don't trust the ravens to show up. We say, God, why would you lead me to this place in my life and not provide for me? But he provides. And that's what we learn, that when he leads you to the place, he will provide for you in that place. It may not be what you expected. It may be ravens, but he will provide. I see the video from Matt and Stacy, and I'm reminded of the first time they came up to me and told me that they were planning on going to Hawaii. And they told me about all of the difficulties in trying to raise money to go to a place like Hawaii. And to be honest, in the back of my mind, there was a doubt they'd ever make it to Hawaii. But when God puts a call on your life, and when God leads you, God will provide. And so now this morning we see this video of them standing, both feet in the soil of Hawaii, ready to serve him and excited about what's next. I spent some time in Israel studying for a semester during college, and I remember distinctly a time when I did not have enough money to pay my bill. And I'm thinking, all right, what am I going to do? I'm in Israel, you know, I've got a plane ticket back, but I don't want to use it yet. I still have more school to go while I'm here. I can't afford this part of my bill, and I don't know, you know, at this point whether my parents were going to be able to help out, whether there was going to be opportunity for a loan or anything while I was in Israel. So I went and I sat in the financial office there, just a small office with one man at a desk. I sat down in front of him, and he opened up a folder with my name on it, and I was ready for the bad news. And he pulled out an envelope. And on that envelope was a receipt, and he handed it to me, and I looked at it, and it said, zero, paid in full. But that's impossible, because I didn't pay it. And he said, well, I didn't pay it. Well, who paid it? He said, I'm not allowed to tell you. I still don't know to this day how or who paid that bill. But I learned a lesson through it. Where God leads, he provides. And that is an opportunity for us to follow. To say, God, I know you're leading, and it doesn't look like you'll provide. God, I know this is where you're calling me to go, but I'm not so sure, God, that we can handle this. If God's leading you there, he's going to provide for those needs. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. For you as an individual, for us as a church, for us as a nation. If we will put our faith in God and follow where he leads, he will provide, no matter how scared we are that things are going to run out, that the brook's going to be dry. There's another lesson from Kareth, and that is that each meal was delivered by airmail, by the raven. And I wonder if it ever crossed Elijah's mind that a stockpile of food might be more convenient. Do you think? You think he thought to himself, you know what would be better than ravens coming and delivering every day? God, if you gave me, a big freezer full of food, you know, a pantry full of cans, that way I could open the door and see how much is left. And I'd know, oh, well, I'm good for a long time yet to come. Grab my can, get something to eat, enjoy it. No, that's not the way it worked. God said, look, I'm going to require you to trust in me morning and evening for the ravens to bring you the food. And so Elijah sat by the brook with no control over it, not knowing when it would dry up, not knowing anything, at the mercy of God, just receiving meals morning and evening. I wonder if the ravens were ever late. You know, God, the ravens always come at 9 a.m. and it's 9:30. You know, my stomach is starting to rumble. You know, I need my sandwich. Well, I wonder if Elijah was ever worried. God, what if the raven doesn't show up? What if the raven dies? What then, God? And here's a third lesson from Elijah's time sitting by the drying up brook. That is, day by day, God supplies. Day by day, God supplies. He doesn't always give it to us in one huge chunk. You know, you're not born, well, not most of us aren't born, with a huge bank account where we can live off the interest of it for the rest of our lives. No, God pays us, and even our work pays us, increment by increment by increment. And sometimes we wonder if it's going to dry up. Kind of like receiving a per diem. Here's your paycheck for the day, Elijah. Enjoy it. We'll see what will happen tomorrow. It's a tough way to live, having to wait on somebody else every day and not knowing whether it'll come. God could have just told Elijah, you know what, Elijah? I am a faithful God, and I provide for your needs. He could have said that. But you know, if you're like Elijah and if I'm like Elijah, chances are we need more than just to hear it from God. We need to experience from God before we get the lesson learned, right? So Elijah's sitting there by the brook, and what does he learn? Through all of this time, he learns, not only does God say he's faithful, he is faithful because I experienced it. Water to drink, food from the ravens, day by day by day, God provides for my needs. Jesus' prayer with his disciples was, give us this day our daily bread. Day by day by day, supply us with our need. Not so much that we have this security of a stockpile, a huge bank account, earning interest, living off the interest. All of us would love that. But God's more likely to give it to us one meal at a time, paycheck to paycheck, to trust in him, to learn that he is faithful. Some days between the raven runs, I don't know about you, but we are tempted to worry. We're tempted to wonder, what if the ravens don't come back? What if God doesn't come through? What if this brook dries up completely and we don't completely trust in him? But the Lord, more than likely, will supply us day by day by day by day. And so our faith must be a day by day by day faith. It needs to be new every morning. Elijah never asked God, you know, God, what comes next? It's one thing that amazes me about the story. Elijah's sitting by the brook, and here's what I would have to ask. God, what's next? Where are we going after this? Elijah didn't ask that. In fact, I believe Elijah might have been content to sit there for his lifetime and just receive from the Lord. What if everything that you have right now is all that you will ever get? Think about that. What if the level of living where you are right now is it? That's all you'll ever have. That's all it's going to be. Would you be satisfied with that? Are you okay with that? Think you can live like that? As long as God was supplying, Elijah was willing to stay, even if it was for a lifetime. God chooses sometimes to give us one day at a time. We need to trust him to receive it one day at a time. Can you trust God for today without pressing him for tomorrow? there's a lesson we can learn from Elijah. Day by day, God supplies, and it's an opportunity for us to trust in Him completely. And I'm sure that Elijah learned many, many more lessons at this brook called Kereth, but let's look at just one more. What was God doing to Elijah? What was He doing to Elijah? Making him witness the slow decline of this brook, which was supplying him water, from a stream to a spring to a trickle to a puddle to nothing, to cracked earth before him. Why was God making him go through that? Well, first of all, the prophecy that Elijah gave to Ahab was coming true before his very eyes. He's the one that told Ahab things are going to dry up. So now Elijah got to sit by the brook and experience the prophecy coming true. But also, the prophet himself was completely emptied of any faith that he might have in himself and his own resources in order to trust God completely. Before God could lead Elijah to the next step in his ministry, Elijah had to pass this test. He had to be trained in trusting the Lord. So when the brook dries up, God trains. He's always in the process of training us, but for some reason, we are trained much more easily in the difficult times than we are in the easy times. When we're in the valley, when things aren't going right, when we're sitting by the brook and the brook is drying up, that's the time when God has the most impact in our world and in our lives. That's the time when we turn to Him and say, I need You, God. And then we're a vessel, a piece of clay that He can shape and use to build us into the people that He wants us to be. Elijah would walk a long road as the prophet of Jehovah in a nation that had forgotten all about Jehovah. This was not going to be easy. The Lord knew that there were difficult days to come. I think the same is true of us as followers of Jesus Christ, who is Jehovah. As followers of Jesus Christ, in a nation that's forgetting about Jesus Christ and pushing Him out, it's not an easy road. So Elijah faced this difficult battle, but he would always be able to remember basic training and what he went through, sitting by the brook of Kereth, waiting on God, being fed day by day by day, watching the brook slowly dry up. And you might say, but Lord, I'm doing what You told me to do. How can this brook dry up? But God, I'm doing my best to walk with You. How can You put this obstacle in my path? But God, I have done my best to be faithful to You. Why am I experiencing this pain and this loss and this difficulty? It doesn't make sense, God. The Lord answers questions like that in our days of quietness, in our days of need, by saying, I love You. I want You to grow. I want You to flourish. I want You to be prepared for what's next. I want You to develop a deep, abiding faith in Me. And this is the only way I can get you there. By causing you to walk through this valley and sit by this brook. Now, if you want to be like Jesus, you need to expect what Jesus got when He was in this world. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though He was God's Son, He learned trusting obedience by what He suffered, just as we do. It's in the suffering that even Jesus Himself learned to trust and to obey. And then look at Romans chapter 5, what Paul writes in that passage of Scripture. He says, we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that the suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Do you see? The suffering eventually leads to character and hope. It's our time of training, our time of learning, our time for growing. And basic training sometimes looks like this. The brook dries up. Our life dries up. And we're forced to learn patience, to endure, to struggle, to be quiet, to build character. We die to ourselves and we become alive to God during those dry times. We're filled with hope in the Lord because we don't have any hope anywhere else. And we're ready to serve Him when He gets us to the point where He wants us to be. When the brook dries up, God trains. And it's an opportunity for us to grow, to become the people that He wants us to be, to use us For Elijah, that brook was Kereth. The word Kereth in the Hebrew language means to cut off or to cut down. I think there are probably two things going on at Kereth in Elijah's life. One was he was cut off completely from the world. All he had was God. But the second thing, he was cut down to size, to realize how small he was and how big God is. So where is your Kereth? Where is your dried up brook? Maybe you've experienced it once or twice already in your life. You've suffered so that character might be built. Maybe you've sat by that stream of water as it has dried up, one drop at a time. Maybe you've sat around waiting, when's the next raven going to come? The place where God gives you opportunities, that brook is the place where God gives you opportunities to listen, to follow, to trust, and to grow. So praise God for the dried up brooks of life. Maybe you're there now. Maybe some of you are there now. Let him finish his work. Use this opportunity to grow. Don't turn against him. Trust him. Follow him. Help him. Help God to do the work that he's already started in you. And then one day, as we see in our story, God will say, get up. I've got something else for you. Get up. I'm going to provide for you in a new way. Stay by the brook. Receive what he gives you and grow, because there are no shortcuts to Christian character and growth. We need to go through the days of the dried up brook. We need to endure our Kereth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we have a God who provides for our needs. Lord, that you are always faithful to those who follow you. That, Lord, when you lead us to do something or to be something or to go somewhere, Lord, that you provide for everything and we can trust in you. Heavenly Father, we don't learn that by just hearing it. You know, Lord, that you need to sometimes bring us through the valley of the shadow of death before we will learn to fear no evil. Father, you need to sit us down by the dried up brook before we will learn the lesson that you provide. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would teach us from the example of Elijah. Lord, that in our days of drought, in our days where the economy's fallen apart, in our days where we live in a nation that has forgotten you, and we, even as your followers, are suffering the consequences of this nation's decline, Lord, even in these days of drought, Father, that we would trust in you, and that you would show yourself to be faithful so that we would be prepared to continue to do your will faithfully and courageously as Elijah did. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.